At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening. It's 6:04 on a beautiful Tuesday, April 20th. That's 4:20 to you and me, man. And I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I know about lamination.
And good evening to Don.
Now it's for a dime with the update in traffic with Alex Lee.
And good evening to Andrew.
I'm clean and sober right now.
And lastly, good evening to Carlin.
I'd like to see the fat guy over there high. What does that look like?
Perfect timing.
He's right here.
Mm.
I know we shouldn't do this conversation on the air. It should be behind the scenes. But I believe that drop should cut off on the word high.
Because I don't disagree. A little
right?
Long, a little lengthy.
Yeah, Anthony, right there. Listen to it again. Listen how good it is right on high.
I'd like to see the fat guy over there high. What does that look like?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, less is more.
How is 420 going for you so far there, bro?
No joke, I stopped in a quick check earlier. I swear to God I am not making this up.
Okay.
And there's a guy online in front of me who probably just woke up. And this was at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. And he had a banana. And he said to the cashier, "Look at this weird banana. Looks like it's two bananas in one." Like, he was full on enjoying 420.
And was he buying Easy Riders? Which I always wondered, are there really people out there that still roll their own cigarettes?
Or did there
really 100% of the clientele were people that smoke pot?
They exist, but I mean, I hear.
But they're not doing that.
I'd like to see the fat guy over there high.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not even a clean edit, though, at the end.
Oh, my God.
You
got to be on your A game today, people.
Anthony, one more time, because this is the standard Chris Carlin's holding you to.
I'd like to see the fat guy over there high.
Yeah. Oh, just a slight clip at the end.
It wowed out. Maybe if we just faded that out, Anthony. If you want, send it over. I'll take care of it.
You're a real piece of work.
I'm a piece of garbage.
So there's a lot going on in sports that we didn't get to mention today. Any surprise, guys, that Kobe Bryant's deal with Nike has not been renewed by his wife? According to a source, Vanessa Bryant and the Bryant estate had grown frustrated with Nike limiting the availability of Kobe products during his retirement and after his death. And there was some frustration with the lack of availability of Kobe footwear in kids' sizes. And so now they're not going to extend this deal. There's also stories out there that Kobe was going to try to go out on his own and do a Mamba brand. You know, his estate does have the Mamba brand and logo. Nike said Kobe was an important part of Nike's deep connection to consumers. He pushed us and made everyone around him better. Through our contractual relationship, though our contractual relationship has ended, he remains a deeply loved member of the Nike family.
Now, you're in a relationship with somebody, and you hear them complain that maybe that's something they don't want to continue. Could it be just that she knew that Kobe wasn't thrilled with a lot of things, and then now that he's gone, he wouldn't have renewed, and she's just honoring his wishes?
I hope that's what it is. I really hope that's what it is, because if it's the other stuff, it sort of worries me about what the thought process is here brand-wise moving forward. I mean, I just Let me tell you this. It would have been hard to pull off a Mamba brand as a competitive sneaker company if Kobe was alive. And while it, if it was done really well, it could make some noise, guys. It's very hard to start a sneaker company. It's hard to even start a new silhouette.
Do you think she would go and do that on her own at this point, or would she partner up with Adidas or somebody like that?
I mean, she could go back to Adidas, which is where Kobe started.
Right.
You know, there's at least a history there, right, that could make some sense. But I don't know. But it did surprise me. And, I mean, you would think if it's an issue of literally – okay, at first I know they pulled Kobe's off the shelves and stuff because they thought it was in bad taste, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's simply an issue now of not liking the availability and there aren't enough kid sizes, that wasn't stuff that was fixable to keep Kobe in the Nike family for in perpetuity? I'm shocked by it. Maybe I don't know that much about the subject, but I just assume, guys, that someone who's as important as he is and is no longer with us, his brand retains even more value. Like, I'm just shocked that Nike didn't do whatever it took to keep this thing going. So I wonder if we'll find out more as time goes on.
I would not disagree with you on that. I'm surprised that Nike would let that fall apart. And frankly, I mean, wouldn't you want the two biggest brands tied together? I would. If I were both sides, I would.
Right. If you're Kobe's family, you have to think we want to be Nike forever. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be so much money in doing that. And if you're Nike, do you really want this iconic fallen basketball superstar? That's your sport. Basketball's real. I mean, I know other people are in the game now and making some moves, but I don't know. It's just the whole thing seems odd to me. Now, Andrew, we have not gotten to talk very much about this European Super League, which yesterday we really found out about and includes basically all of the major big money clubs in European soccer. And now the soccer world has sort of turned on its head. And now, of course, we're seeing some changes and some teams that do not want to be a part of it. So can you give us a brief synopsis of what happened yesterday and where we are today?
So I will try to be brief, but it's hard because this is super complex, especially here in the United States, where league structures and things like that are vastly different from the way it's set up in Europe.
Right.
But I guess the most basic point of this is that every country in Europe has its own domestic soccer league. England, Spain, Germany, France, so on and so forth. It'd be like if there was an NBA in the United States, an NBA in Canada, an NBA in Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, so on and so forth. And all these countries have their own leagues. The best teams from each country feed into something that's called the Champions League.
Yep.
It's the number one club competition in world soccer and maybe in world sports. The Champions League final, in terms of TV ratings, dwarfs that of the Super Bowl. It's that kind of event, and it has that kind of power in the global soccer universe. The top clubs out there that you guys have heard of, obviously Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester United, some of these clubs, they feel, I guess, that their participation in the Champions League has not been yielding them the kind of money they believe that they should be owed. That their stature, you know, all these clubs are feeding off of us and our popularity and our brand. And so this talk of a Super League has kind of been simmering out there for a number of years. And behind the scenes, they were working on it while trying to renegotiate a new Champions League. But all the while they were negotiating that, they were behind the scenes actually working on what they really wanted, which was the Super League. And Sunday night, they released a statement that there were 12 clubs unified, and they were breaking off, and they were doing this. Champions League, the history, tradition of all that be damned. We want more of the pie, so we're going to go our own way. And the soccer world lost its mind. Obviously,
wait, that means it would do away with the Champions League altogether?
So there wasn't total clarity there. It seemed like the Champions League was going to try to go on, but the importance of it obviously would have been decimated without clubs like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Liverpool. I mean, name a gigantic club that you've heard of, even a casual fan. These are the teams that are involved. So the Champions League might have continued to exist, but it would have been a shell of what it once was. And people were devastated to hear that because it's a competition that people love. Its popularity is enormous. And so the backlash to this. I'm sure they knew there was going to be backlash. What I wonder is if they knew the backlash would be coming so strongly from their own fans. You know, Chelsea, their own fan base lost its mind. Tottenham, Manchester United, Liverpool. All,
in other words,
they
the
went
teams
crazy.
That were included
The teams
went
that
crazy.
Were included.
Not just the fan bases that were excluded.
Right. So basically, I would say almost the entirety of the soccer world was against this. And to the point where it went beyond fans and media. Boris Johnson, Emmanuel Macron, I mean, global leaders were voicing their outrage over this. And, I mean, it exploded. It became a huge deal. And earlier today, Chelsea and Manchester City, I guess I'll have to read more about specifically why they backed out, but it seemed like they succumbed to the pressure. And they have both announced that they are going to be backing out. I believe
wow.
others, again, I've kind of been here and I haven't had a chance to really read and see all the news, but I've heard other reports of Atletico Madrid. So it seems like this new Super League that was supposed to exist and kind of really change the face of soccer is unraveling before it even really had the chance to get off the ground. So it's been, in terms of the last 3 days, Sunday to now, I don't know if soccer has seen 3 days quite like what's gone on here.
If you want to get a really great understanding of the whole thing, check out Andrew's podcast with J.J. Devaney, Caught Offside, wherever you can find ESPN podcasts. But it's fascinating. It was really, really an interesting situation. Do you have a team there, Chris Carlin? You have a club team?
You know, I don't follow it casually, but I don't really have a team. Arsenal also pulled out officially,
okay. And
they just said, we were wrong and we apologize in their statement.
I think it was a very short statement. I think the most
important
and exciting thing that I learned in my soccer sort of deep dive over the last 6 hours or 8 hours was that there is a team in Europe called Rosenborg.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, that's big news. Don, did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
Oh, yeah. Where
is
are
that
they?
In the Bundesliga?
No. It's I believe they're Norwegian.
How do I not have a Rosenborg jersey?
I mean, now, as I sit back and hear all this, my first thought is I'm actually happy that the four major sports in this country aren't as big as soccer because it seems like it would be a bit of a problem. Imagine if baseball was as popular around the world as soccer. And where the Korean Baseball League, the Japanese Baseball League, the Cuban Baseball League were all like equal to Major League Baseball. And you would see like similar situations where there would be a World Series, but there would also be national competition. That all sounds great, but it also sounds like it would become just so gargantuan that it would really change from the tradition that we have. And who knows, maybe... What if you had, like, the Yankees and the Mets and the Dodgers and the Red Sox all say, you know what, we're tired of supporting all of these small market teams. We're going. We're going to form our own league.
Well, Don,
we're
going to
go play in Japan and take our talents there. Like, that could happen, right?
I have fantastic news for you. Baseball will never be the most popular sport in the world.
No, I obviously know that.
Now, I'll tell
but
you
I'm
what
saying,
is.
The benefit, because we hear so – I just don't know, Andrew, and you can answer this – this would be one of the negative byproducts of this sport being so gargantuan.
Well, I suppose that's true, but it's also kind of one of the things that makes soccer so great is its global reach and its global appeal. And again, like I don't know if something like that exactly could happen just because of like geography, like the size of what we're talking about. In Europe, it works because how big is Europe? You've got, you know, countries on top of one another like we have in the United States. So it can work in a place like that where a competition like the Champions League can exist and thrive.
Hey, but every sport in this country is trying to grow their sport, right?
Right?
The NBA's hope would love to be, basketball would love to be soccer and have it all over the world and have something like this. Would
how
that,
many...
For the NBA fan in the country, would that be great if, like, after the championship, you're going to have to go play in, you know, a World Cup thing or maybe have the Lakers decide we're going to go play in Barcelona?
Andrew, how many teams from each league go? How many, like, from Premier League go
so
to Champions League?
From the Premier League, it's four. The biggest leagues each get four teams.
Got it.
And then it kind of filters down from there depending on how big your league is.
I think I would make a phenomenal soccer hooligan.
I can see that.
Yeah,
see
like
that.
If I lived in Europe, there's no question that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah, no, I think you'd be tremendous.
I really fit in.
Well, in the movie Shaun of the Dead, right? I think we all like that movie, right?
Great movie.
He would be the wacky roommate, right? That would be you, Chris, right?
Yeah.
Not really bothered by the zombies, still want to watch his soccer, make sure you got to the pub.
Right. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be bothered by anything as long as I could put on my size large shirt and have the bottom of my belly showing. Yeah.
Speaking of people putting on a large shirt and having their belly showing, they can celebrate in Pittsburgh or not, depending how you feel, as the Steelers have given Mike Tomlin a 3-year extension.
I saw that tweet, Peter, and it bothered me.
It irked
me.
What?
It disgusted me.
What?
That there are people that have a problem with it.
I know.
Why is this guy who clearly is a great coach constantly under scrutiny? Terry Bradshaw ripping him. Steeler fans ripping him.
Danny
Carlin
from Long
just
Island.
Made that noise. What's wrong with Mike Tomlin? What's wrong with
him? He's 145-78-1.
Well, I want to hear it. What's wrong with Mike Tomlin?
You got to watch him every game to know what's wrong with Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah.
And all I can tell you is this. There have been so many head-scratching situations and so many times that they were not ready to play in big games. And might I submit exactly what happened this year against the Cleveland Browns. And we're handing over an extension after getting full-on embarrassed by the Cleveland Browns in round one. Bill Cowher won a lot of games for a long time and could never win the big one until the very end. Tomlin won one early, but now can't get back there.
So, Peter, you get no credit at all for being relevant constantly.
It's got
a little Yankee feel to it, doesn't it?
Oh, no. I was thinking the exact...
Absolutely, it does.
The second I read the story, I'm just thinking about the Yankees, because what's it like to be in the playoffs every year? I mean, listen, we don't have enough time for me to break down how I really feel about Ben Roethlisberger. And like,
I feel terrible about him, too. I'm with you on that.
These Steelers teams have not been that talented, and they're always good. So, you know, everyone could cry about how he doesn't show up in the big games. I could argue, but they might not be there at all.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
But anyways, there's big news breaking in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
A setback for James Harden with his hamstring. He is out tonight against the Pelicans, and he is out indefinitely.
Oh, boy.
So let's hear from Steve Nash right now.
I was at the workout, but we didn't know until he'd have the scan, and so I just found that news as well. So, yeah, we'll back to square one, and we'll rehabilitate him and get him back whenever we can, and who knows when that'll be, but we'll support James, and we'll support our performance team in getting him back and in his best condition as possible, and hopefully that comes sooner than later, but that there's no guarantee. So we just keep chipping away. We keep moving forward, and we hope for a speedy recovery.
Wow. So they've got 14 games after tonight left.
All right.
Odds he plays in any of them.
Zero.
Yeah. I'm with Chris. Zero. We will not see him again until the postseason, which means they will not have the big three on the court again until the playoffs, at least.
And I don't think they're remotely worried about it.
Okay.
I would be.
Listen, they're not worried about it. Do you really want to have to go into the second or third round having not had all three on the court at the same time?
Absolutely not. And I think, to me, they're not getting out of the conference.
I'll tell you what. It's the thing. If they don't play together at all, you're going to tell me that they are inherently going to be able to crush? Like, let's say that, and I know I understand my green lenses here, but if they come in stumbling in at the second seed, and maybe they don't even have everyone every night, or they do, but they just show up for game one, you feel they're going to cruise by, let's say, the Celtics at the 7, if over the next 14 the Celtics do what they've been doing over the last 5, they lost last night to Chicago? Like, it's a guarantee the Nets just roll over Tatum, Brown, Kemba, and a team that's gelling at that point? I know it's likely they'll win, but this is, it's really hard to just step into the playoffs with teams that have been gelling. What about how the Knicks are playing right now? I don't know. It's a scary thought.
Peter, KD's not playing either, right?
No. He's day-to-day.
So they've only got a 3-game lead on Milwaukee. Why are you giving them the 2? Isn't it possible they could drop the 3?
That is also possible. It's a great point.
And then that would be the matchup, right? At 3, they would play maybe Boston, maybe the Knicks. Yeah. But it could be Boston.
I mean, listen, the Knicks could be up at, what, a 4 tonight?
If Atlanta loses?
Right,
we're running out of time, but quickly, it could be Boston, it could be the Knicks, it could be Miami. That's a great first round draw.
That'll do it for ENN on this 420, man.
Right, Rangers hockey coming up on 1050. Carlin coming up on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.